Open your Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 9 for study number 74. This Bible study is titled, 1 Timothy Study 74-Knowing This. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Now let's pray. Father, give us divine wisdom today that we might discuss and declare and, Lord, say what needs to be said. We need that divine touch of the Holy Ghost of God upon our mind and upon our soul and upon our heart, that you might loose our tongue, that we'd speak freely and carefully, and Lord, that we be precise in what we say. And I pray the Holy Ghost of God direct it to the hearts that need it, to the minds, Lord, that need to think upon it, and Father, to those today that, Lord, are in need of the precious Word of God. We'll give you the praise and the glory for what you're going to accomplish. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. Now, this will be study number 74 of the book of 1 Timothy, and it will be the second study on verse 9 of the first chapter of the book of 1 Timothy. Our last study was study number 73, and it was titled, Knowing. In our last lesson, we said verse 9 contains 38 words and 7 different statements as to its punctuation. And we'll give you these statements again. These statements are number 1, knowing this. And statement number 2 is that the law is not made for a righteous man. Number 3 is but for the lawless and disobedient. Statement number 4 is for the ungodly and for sinners. Statement number 5 is for unholy and profane. Statement number 6 is for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. And statement number 7 is for manslayers. All of these are separated by a comma. We'll begin our study on the first statement in this verse with the first two words, which are the words knowing this. The words knowing this are recorded 5 times in the Bible, and most all of them are in the New Testament. Well, actually, all of them are in the New Testament. One of these 5 references is our text verse today. We will look at this phrase as much as we have time for, and then we'll move on further into this verse. Our old man, which is our past life of sin, is crucified, that is, put to death with Christ, as is seen in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4 through 6. The Bible said, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ we was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Then he says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The first time we find this phrase in this scripture, knowing this, it's speaking about our baptism after our salvation or after our new birth. After we are born again, we're to follow the Lord in baptism. Baptism is a doctrinal fact, amen, and it's important for the child of God, amen, to know. Many teach sprinkling or splashing water on someone, but this is not scriptural. The Lord taught us to be baptized, and he taught us how to be baptized. Jesus went down into the Jordan River, and John the Baptist submerged Jesus and put him completely under the water. When Jesus came up out of the water, the dove, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, lit upon his shoulder, and then there was a voice from heaven, which was God, spoke and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Then the Lord started his earthly ministry. Baptism is not essential to your salvation or being saved, as many teach in this modern day, but it is necessary after salvation to get into the ministry or service of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not essential to salvation, but it is essential for us to be effective in our Christian service. Now, baptism represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The old man, as it is referred to here in our scripture, is the old life before Christ. After salvation, we are to crucify and then bury the old man in a watery grave representing the death and the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we are raised up out of the water, it represents the resurrection of Christ from the dead. We are then to go forth in a new life, being a new creature in Christ Jesus. This baptism we're talking about says to the world that the old man is dead and we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Well, we are not what we used to be. This first knowing this is a representation that the old man has been crucified, that the old man is put to death, and that the body of sin has been destroyed, and we are no longer servants of sin or of Satan. The second knowing this that we want to mention is that the trying of our faith worketh patience, as is seen in James chapter 1, verse number 2 through 4. Notice what God tells James to tell you and me. He said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Then he says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." The phrase "knowing this" informs us that the trying of our faith or our tribulations work patience in our lives. James tells us that we ought to count it all joy when we're tempted, because our temptations, our testings, and our trials will build up patience in our lives. Amen. Now, the third knowing this that we want to point out is that the Word of God is of no private interpretation, as we see in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. "We have also," he says, "a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Now look, knowing this, first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Peter's given us here in this verse how we have obtained the precious holy Word of God. It has come down by holy men of old as God moved upon them by the Holy Ghost. Man is not the author of the Word of God, thank God. He's just the writer. He's just the one that penned it down. God uses some 40 different writers over a period of 1,500 to 1,600 years to pin down His sacred Word to you and me. All 31,102 verses of 23,000 of them, 145, are found in the Old Testament. And 7,957 verses are found in the New Testament. All of these are given by inspiration of God. All 783,137 words found in the Bible, with 602,585 words in the Old Testament and 180,552 words in the New Testament, are from God. All 3,116,480 letters, with 2,278,100 letters found in the Old Testament and 838,380 letters in the New Testament, are part of God's heavenly divine book sent to help us be what we need to be. I say praise God, and praise God. Amen. I used to say that God penned down the Word of God with some 40-odd writers. After thinking about that for a while, I changed it back to some 40 writers because I did not want to call them odd. Amen. They appeared odd to the world, but they do not appear odd to me. Then later I realized that these men who penned down the Bible were odd to the world. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's odd, amen, in this world today. And it's even odd to most believers in our day. Even in our day, anybody full of the Holy Ghost is odd and strange to the world and to most church members. If you feel these are odd to you, then you have a spiritual problem that needs to be addressed immediately, right now, and very quickly. Amen and amen. Peter tells us here in this verse that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Their own interpretation of what they think God is trying to say in the Word of God. That's what people seem to want to do. Everybody seems to have their own private interpretation. That's why many in our churches argue with the preacher and get mad when he delivers the message that God has laid upon his heart, especially if they're against what they've been doing and if he's said something against their constant habits. It's hard to find people in the church who agree on the Scriptures. The devil is happy that we as God's people can't get it together in agreement in the Word of God. God gives us a challenge and a command through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." We're here to have the same mind and the same judgment. If we use the same Bible and listen to the same Spirit of God, there should be no problem speaking the same thing and be together in the same mind and the same judgment. God does not have one meaning for me and a different meaning for you from the Scriptures. God is one mind, and that is a divine mind. And that will not and cannot ever, ever, ever change. Amen. The fourth knowing this is found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Peter gives us a challenge and a warning of the last days here. Amen. God tells us through this apostle that there's coming a time when there will be scoffers. I want to say we're there now. Scoffers are those who ridicule, who scorn, who laugh at, and who deny the facts of the coming of the Lord. We have multitudes of these in our day. They're very prominent. Amen. And they speak forth. Not many are looking for the Lord to come. Many are laughing at those who preach it and make fun of those who believe it. Amen. They ridicule by saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? I've heard that all my life and it's not happened." They accuse us who believe it that he's coming and using, they accuse us of using scare tactics, what I'm trying to say, and use false doctrine. They think the world is billions of years old and will continue on for billions of years if we protect it and take care of it and hug a tree. A man has put himself into the authority as God and has put himself in the charge of God's creation. Amen. They have and are denying the creation and his continual watch care of the universe. It'll calm your fears and settle your nerves when you realize that God is in control. And man is not just man is just the creature, and God is the creator, and he needs no help from you or no help from me to perform his job. He has never failed, and he never will. Amen and amen. God said these scoffers are walking after their own lust. Lust are those things that the flesh yearns for. The things that the flesh desires are the things that the flesh hungers after to satisfy their bodies and their minds. God has something to say about these lusts in James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. He says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Amen. God says that these lusts entice us. Entice means to lure us away from, to attract us to something else, or persuade us to follow after something. The devil is in the business of luring us off the beaten path so he can stop us from serving God with all our heart. He wants to sidetrack us and keep us from being effective in the work of God. James says that we are tempted when we are drawn away of our own lust. Then James says, when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We'll constantly have problems with this as long as we have flesh, and we'll have to deal with it. We hope this study 74 has been a real blessing. We hope these audio commentaries have strengthened you and will continue to strengthen you. My prayer today is that God bless you. Amen and amen.